It's good to be back up here again. I read a column in the local paper recently that, to me, shed some light on the challenges that we face as Christians when trying to convince others of the benefits of obeying the gospel. I often wonder, and I've heard other brethren say the same thing, being astonished by how anyone can turn a deaf ear to the glory and the riches that God has to offer through his plan of salvation for mankind. According to the column that I read, this can be explained in part by control, understanding who is in control. In fact, that's the title of my lesson this evening, Who is in Control? The column I read was titled, Psychology Helps Explain Political Divide. Now, it was about a survey given recently to Americans of differing political backgrounds, and they were asked a series of questions to determine just how much control they thought they wielded over their own lives. The survey studied political differences of viewpoints, but I saw a parallel with religious differences of viewpoints, differences that are very real, very deeply ingrained, and very difficult to bridge. In the survey, conservatives generally felt that major events in their life are largely the consequences of their own choices and their own efforts. Liberals, on the other hand, felt that the opposite is true. An individual's personal belief has a major impact on how they interact and how they relate with people of like beliefs and also with people of differing beliefs. Christians are redeemed by the blood of Christ, and we learn the truth by God's word. Christians are told in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And for the sake of this discussion, I came up with a few reasons. Sam mentioned a couple earlier today. A few reasons for the hope that is in us. We have the power of the one true God in our corner. What can be better than that? We have the peace, the protection, the provisions that are provided by him to his faithful servants. We have the true path revealed by God's word that will take us through life and into eternity in heaven with him. Yet how often do we encounter people who scoff at these things that we hold so dear? Do you ever ask yourself, why can't they see what I see? Why don't they take advantage of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross? How can they neglect so great a salvation, as the author of Hebrews 2:3 says? So what are the results of the survey I mentioned earlier tell us? Should we forego trying to evangelize conservatives since they seem to think that everything is in their control? Or should we focus more on liberals who think that they have little control over the events in their lives? Well, truthfully, neither of these answers is a viable solution. Those of either extreme may still lack the capability to sit still long enough to hear the gospel message. That's just the way it is. And they leave us to wonder why they won't hear the word of God and heed his message. So should we give up trying to bring God's word and the gospel message altogether? Well, let's look to Isaiah 55 for guidance. Looking back at the Old Testament, we see what God tells us about his word through his prophet, Isaiah. Chapter 55 is an invitation of sorts. Here, God tells us what he will do for those who will come to him. And Isaiah 55:11 sums up the impact, the importance of God's word in God's own words. And it's important then, it's important today. We read, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." It shall not return to me void, he says. Whenever God's word is put out there, it has an effect. We may not see it. The effect may not take place right away, but God says it will prosper in the things for which he sent it. God is in control. We may not see the impact of God's word when we first share it with someone. Some may never give it a chance to impact them. They choose to remain blind. We see a striking example of blind people way back in the Bible in Numbers, when the Jews were being led by God to the Promised Land. We read in Numbers 14, verses 44 through 45, "But they," the Jews, "presumed to go up to the mountaintop." They went up to do battle. "They presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp." God didn't go with them. They were on their own. Verse 45, "When the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah." These people lived where they could see the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, as described in Exodus 13:22. Did that make an impression on them? It was in place to lead them where God wanted them to go, where he wanted to guide them. Yet they balked at the idea of following God through Moses. Instead, they listened to the spies who came back from Canaan and who reported their own personal fear about what they saw in the Promised Land. Then they compounded their mistake and they elected to do battle against God's will. And the results were catastrophic. They had been witnesses to the towering wall of the Red Sea that was parted for them to walk safely on dry land as they escaped Egypt. And they watched as it fell in and drowned Pharaoh and the pursuing Egyptian army. Still, rather than putting their faith in God's word and in his power to protect and provide for him, they chose to listen to foolish men. And they chose, in some cases, to listen to themselves. So, should we ignore God's word and do things differently today? After all, how old is this book, right? But it didn't go well for the Hebrews who spent the next 40 years in the wilderness, did it? So I wouldn't recommend it. We should remember that Jesus gave his apostles the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, also in Mark 16, and he exhorted them to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. We can consider ourselves modern-day disciples, tasked with carrying on the work of the first century church to spread the gospel. 1 Peter 1:23 tells us we've been born again through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because as Paul puts it in Romans 1:16, it's the gospel of Christ that is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It doesn't matter who we think we should go talk to. In Romans 10:14, we read what could happen if we all just stopped talking about the gospel. Paul writes, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, without a teacher, without someone to tell them about the gospel?" What a shame for anyone to miss an opportunity for salvation through our silence. Teach, spread the word of God so that all may hear. Everyone then has an opportunity to believe the gospel. God's word shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish what he pleases. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isaiah 55 and Hebrews 4. It's not up to us. It is not up to us to choose who believes. God is in control. It is, however, up to us to continue to bring the gospel to anyone who will hold still long enough to listen. That way, whether they be conservative or liberal or anywhere in between, they get to decide whether they will hear, whether they will believe, whether they will repent and change their ways with godly sorrow, not sorrow for getting caught, not sorrow for doing wrong, but sorrow for offending our Lord and Father. Then they confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before men and are baptized. And being faithful unto death, God's plan is in place. That's what it takes. And we have our part in his plan. I'd like to invite anybody who has need for prayers to the church, or anybody who wishes to obey the gospel this evening, to come forward as we stand and sing.